saying the one person that feels that they don't fit, that they aren't part of God's family, or they don't fit wherever they are. But I think this is, the Holy Spirit is saying this morning, you do fit. You are part of the family. You belong. And that's a really important, it's not my message this morning, but that's God's message. So you fit, you belong. So we're going to read together. I've got control, haven't I, in theory? There we go. Right. Okay, so we're going to read from John 10. So thank you, Wilson. No, it's bouncing. So we're going to read from John 10. So if you've got your Bibles, in case that doesn't work, so we're going to read together. So if you'd like to read it together with me, let's read the English together if we can. So the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That last verse, so much reassurance in that last verse. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. There's nothing that can come against us that will take us away from him. There's nothing that can come against your family members, those you love, that will take him away from him. They belong to Jesus. Now, I know it's hot this morning, but try not to fall asleep. I might get you up and do some exercises in the middle. Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. So this is a metaphor. He knows his sheep, they know him. They listen to his voice and they follow him. So who are his sheep? So Mabel is a sheep. So is Wilson. Yes, Arinola is a sheep. So we all are his sheep. If we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we belong to him. He is the good shepherd. We are his sheep. And he knows us. He knows you. He knows you by name. He knows what you like, what you don't like. He knows all about you. He even knows how many hairs there are on your head. He knows all about you. So that is key. If he knows you, what does that mean? If he knows you, what does that mean? It is very personal, yes. So in 2 Timothy, it says the Lord knows who is his. He knows who is his. He knows who is his and who isn't his. Who belongs to him and who doesn't. But he also knows those who are his. So as Pastor Mabel just said, he knows you intimately and personally. And we are truly his sheep if he knows us. But another passage speaks of those who think that they are one of his sheep. They might do all sorts of amazing things in his name, but he doesn't actually know them. And if we can read this again together, Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. So may you not be that person that you get to judgment day and he says, I never knew you. I think it's going to be a shock for some who think that they are okay, who think that just because they prayed a prayer of salvation, or maybe they haven't even prayed a prayer, they've just done a lot of good works, and they think that that's going to get them into the kingdom. But that's not what Jesus says here. So he says we need to also be his sheep, be his disciples, truly follow him, listen to his voice, be obedient, do his will. That's what he's saying in this scripture from John. So are you obedient? Are you doing what he says? Are you doing what he has for you in your life? Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Okay. So Jesus says of his sheep that as well as knowing us, that we shall know him. And we only know him because through his grace and mercy, he self-discloses. That's a theological term. He self-discloses to us. He makes himself known to us first. And this is before we discover him. He reveals himself or makes known himself through different ways. So firstly, through acting in history. So you can read all of the Old Testament, the New Testament. You can see what God has done. And you can see that therefore there is a God through looking at what he's done in history. And obviously beyond the Bible, we can see what he's done through all of history. Through creation, Psalm 19. If I can find it. Okay. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day he pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Now last week I was in the Highlands in Scotland, and I saw every day God's glory displayed in the heavens, displayed in creation. Every day I was on the beach or I was walking on the mountains, and I was thanking God for showing me something new about his creation, something new about himself, and praising God in that moment for all that he has made. And I can't understand when I look at how marvelous creation is. I can't understand how some people look at it and they try and explain it away as something other than God that has formed creation. And Romans 1:20, it says, if we can read it again together, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So people make up all sorts of ideas in their own foolish thinking about life, about creation, and they ignore that God exists. But it says here they are without excuse. When they face him on Judgment Day, they won't be able to make an excuse that they didn't know that God existed. They won't be able to make that excuse, because the heavens themselves, creation declares his glory, his power, his divinity. Thirdly, we see his disclosure, because he makes himself known to each of us personally. And that might be through dreams, it might be through visions, it might be through other personal interaction, talking to us. But he gives us a personal experience of him. If Rex could come to the rescue, that would be great. Okay. So going back to John 10, while that fiddles, if you want to look in your Bibles, it says in John 10, his sheep know him and follow him because they know his voice. And I wonder, how well do you know his voice? Do you know when it's his voice and when it's a stranger talking to you? In fact, we are truly his sheep if not only do we hear his voice and know him, but we follow him. We don't go our way, but we go his way. And I always try and remember to start my day by asking the Holy Spirit to fill me, and I ask him to lead me to the people he wants me to talk to in that day. And if one of the things I have been doing recently is saying, if somebody wants to start a conversation with me, that I will try and always be ready to respond with Jesus. So can we just take a moment just to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you? So just ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me again. Fill me again. Holy Spirit, come into my heart again. Fill me again. May you empower me to do what you want me to do. Lead me to do and to see and to speak to whoever you want me to speak to. Lead me to do your will. Amen. Now, I don't always get this right. So in the morning, I will ask him to fill me again and to lead me. And last week, I don't think I did get it right, because I was on my way to the English class and I was in a rush, and I had to go into Sainsbury's and grab some food for the party, and I was in a rush, and this lady kept talking to me, and she was following me around the aisles, and I'm trying to work out what to buy, and she's following me, and I'm just, go away, I'm trying to get stuff for the English class. And it wasn't until I got home after my busy day that I thought, that must have been God. But anyway, he's in his grace and his mercy, he still did use me at the English class, and I'll talk to you about that later. But whilst I was on holiday, he did use me. So I had prayed and I'd asked the Holy Spirit to show me who he wanted me to speak to that day. And I'd been walking along with my husband on the beach, and he went off to go and get the car, and I decided just to keep on walking just for a little bit longer. And almost immediately, I saw this lady walking towards me. And I knew that God wanted me to talk to her. And as I reached her, I realized that actually she was not quite okay. And so I said to her, very obvious question, but are you okay? And she just started to cry. And she told me her very sad story. And so I prayed peace over her, and she didn't know Jesus. So I shared the gospel with her. She experienced peace. She asked me about suffering, why there's so much suffering in the world. And, you know, so we had all of that conversation in the middle of the street. And it turned out that she has a friend, a local shopkeeper, who actually prays for her. And this shopkeeper gives her a Bible verse every now and again. But this lady had never actually accepted Jesus. She didn't actually accept Jesus there and then, but she has the tools. She knows what to do. I said to her, when you go home, just ask Jesus. Just, you know, when you have a moment of panic, if it comes back, she was having a panic attack at the time. I said to her, you now know, you just need to ask him into your heart and go back to that shopkeeper and tell her that you've had a conversation with me. And see how that shopkeeper now wants to pray. So I'm trusting, she's actually been in touch with me over the phone since, but I'm trusting that shopkeeper will keep her going. But regardless of that, even if that shopkeeper didn't, I know that God's got that lady, because God has put that shopkeeper in her life. He put me in her life for that short period. I'm sure there are other people that he will put around her until she says yes to him. And there is a plan for her life. But I do think, I'm going slightly off my sermon, I do wonder how many moments we all miss because we don't take the time to ask the Holy Spirit, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? Because it's very easy for us to go our own way and do our own thing, do what's comfortable. But how many times do we miss what the Holy Spirit wants us to do? How many people are not being spoken to about Jesus because we are not taking the time to go and do that? So Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd. And as a good shepherd, he is responsible for his sheep. And any shepherd is responsible for the safety, for the welfare, for the protection of their sheep when they get into difficulties, to come and rescue them. And Jesus says he is a good shepherd. He's not a neglectful or a bad shepherd. He is a good shepherd. And Jesus laid down his life as a good shepherd for each one of you. It was a supreme act of love that he laid down his life for you and for me. My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus. It's a statement of fact. They do hear. It isn't just pastors or super spiritual people that hear. We all should be able to hear from him. Sometimes it's difficult to hear. There's so much noise in the world that can stop us from hearing. I wonder if you've ever been out and seen a shepherd with his sheep in real life. Have you ever seen a shepherd with his sheep? Or it could be a female shepherd with her sheep. But I wonder if you've ever seen a shepherd calling his sheep. So if you go on YouTube, you can actually see some wonderful clips of shepherds calling their sheep. And there's one particular one I wanted to show you, but there was a copyright on it. There was a sheep, and they're in the field. They're happily grazing, eating their grass, and all these different people try and call the sheep to them. And the sheep just completely ignore them and carry on munching their grass. And then along comes the shepherd. And as soon as the shepherd calls, the sheep stop munching and straight away they come to the shepherd. Straight away. And that's because they know him. And how do they know him? Well, it's probably because they have spent time with him. They've probably known him since they were little lambs. They have known him. They've spent time with him. He knows them. He has chosen to spend time with them. And they have got to hear his voice over all of the other voices. And if you are truly his sheep, you too will have spent time with him. You will have learned to understand what his voice sounds like. So how can you get to know his voice? What does it sound like? So I'm going to tell you a story. So a young girl, she was 17 years old, and she had decided that her life was so miserable that she was going to end her life. Her dad had died quite a few years ago, and her relationship with her mum was broken. And she was struggling with anxiety, depression, and loneliness. And she felt that she couldn't go on anymore. But in her desperation for something, she decided to give God one more chance. And so she knelt on the floor of the bedroom where she was. And she said, "God, are you real? Do you even care?" And into the quiet darkness of the room, she heard a voice, an audible voice, say, "I love you." In one way, nothing had changed. She was still a teenager with issues, and she had an awful long way to go to become all that God wanted her to be. But in another way, everything had changed, as she now knew that the God of the universe loved her and cared enough to speak to her. A number of years later, still struggling, she chose to go to a church. And as the speaker up front announced an Alpha course that was coming up, she heard again this voice speak in her ear, "I want you to go on that course." And from there, her life started to turn a corner as she started to go on a journey with God. It was by no means easy. There were lots of stumbles on the way, but she persisted. And that girl was me. And I would slowly begin the journey of following him. And it took many years before I learned to trust, because I had quite a broken past. But I learned to listen to his voice and to walk in obedience to him. And I pray that all of you will get there quicker than I did. And in reality, we can all hear from God. We can all hear his voice and come to know his voice. And he speaks in different ways, but primarily through his word. And maybe you just need to understand how he speaks, and that God has always been speaking to you, but you may not have realized it. You may not have known that it was God. He can speak in lots of ways. Very rarely, actually, is it an audible voice. So with me, I can probably count a handful of times where I've heard an audible voice. Usually, it's either an inner whisper, a thought in my mind, or it's through his word, the Bible. But of course, he can speak in lots of different ways. But do you take the time to listen, to practice listening for his voice? So we have the Holy Spirit, and that's the scripture that's already up. Thank you. So let's read this together, John 16, verse 12. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So we have the Spirit of Truth. He is the Holy Spirit. If you have asked Jesus into your heart, you already have the Holy Spirit in you as a deposit. Sometimes there are different voices that speak into your mind. So sometimes you have to discern who is God and who isn't. And there are lots of different voices that can speak into your mind. Some of it can be from all the media that you watch, social media, TV, the news, the world, all of that puts thoughts into your mind. Some of it can be other people's voices. You know, you may have strong voices from your past that still you can hear their voices in your mind telling you how to behave or not to behave, whether that's the right thing or not. There is a possibility that it could be Satan speaking into your mind, but it is very unlikely because Satan is not omnipresent like God is. He can't be in all places at once like God is. So it's an unlikely, but it could be God through his Holy Spirit speaking to you in your mind. And through practice and experience, you can learn and discern who it is that's speaking to you. Always remember that when God speaks, it will always line up with his word, the Bible. That's really important. So always check out, does it say what I've heard in the word? And a way that you can also discern is talk to somebody who is more mature in the faith than you to say, did I really hear from God? And talk about it with somebody. So your group leader, one of the pastoral team here, talk to them about what you think God may have said to you, and they will be able to help you to discern. And God speaks through many different ways, as I said. He speaks through creation, historical action, through personal interaction, so dreams, visions, talking to you, and many other ways. And we can see examples of that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, which we haven't got time to go into today. But primarily, it's his word that speaks. Sorry, there was a little bit more I should have asked you to read, but there we go. So these are the ways that God can speak. And I've put in capitals at the bottom, his written word, the Bible. That is the primary way that God speaks. Okay. So we need to get in his word every day and find out what God wants to say to us. And his word can teach us and set us on the right path. Oh. Okay, well, so that scripture, I'll read it to you then. It's from Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So God's word is our guide. It shows us the way, it speaks to us and gives us direction. And his word is living and active. No, okay. So that one is Hebrews 4, verse 12. Thank you. That'll do nicely. Let's read it together. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So when you read his word, remember, it's alive. It's alive. And there is a pastor called Bill Johnson of Bethel Church, and I love his advice. He says, keep reading the word until something jumps out of the page at you. Keep reading the Bible until something jumps out of the page at you. And that's what God is trying to say to you today. So keep reading until it comes alive in you. Okay. Okay, Rex, could you put the next slide on, please? Or the last slide. Wait for Rex to do that. So here is my question to you as I come to the close of what I want to say. Do you know Jesus? Do you truly know Jesus? Do you know his voice? Is he truly your shepherd? Are you listening to what he says? Okay. Do you know what he wants you to do in your life? Do you know what the plan and the purpose he has for you is? Have any sound? Okay. It is coming. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen at the back who are working so hard. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So there are lots of ways that he could be speaking to you. There are lots of things he could be saying to you. But are you listening? Do you have a soft heart? Are you hardening your heart against what you know he is saying to you? Because some of you, I believe, are actually not walking in obedience to him right now. You know that there's a call on your life. You know that he is speaking to you. And yet you are saying no. You are saying no. In fact, even me, I had a challenge just yesterday afternoon, sat in my garden, and I've been asked to do something, and he said to me, when are you going to do what I've asked you to do? And for me, it seems too big, what he's asked me to do. It seems too big. But I had to do some business with God yesterday. So if that's happened to me, I'm sure there are others here. You know that God is wanting you to do something. You know in your heart that God is speaking to you and is calling you on to something else. You know that he is, and yet you are not doing it. Now is your time to say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. Do with me what you want to do with me. May I truly be your servant. May I truly do what you want. And there are all sorts of things. It might be a call to pioneer something new. It might be a call to lead a group. It might be a call to step into ministry. It might be a call to go and serve at Tilehurst, the Gate Tilehurst, for a season. There is all sorts of things, even beyond what I have just said, that God might be wanting to stir up in your heart to remind you of what the call is on your life. And does he know you? On Judgment Day, will he say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? Or will he say, I never knew you? If I could ask Jeremy just to come up and just start to play, please. The other worship team could join him. if you like. Now, Brother Wilson shared a testimony on Wednesday, and I said I would tell you how God did use me on Wednesday at the English class. So Brother Wilson came and he shared a testimony and shared the gospel with those that came to the English class, and it was a really powerful moment. And the story that he shared was, I'm only going to tell you the very little bit, but it was about a man who'd been diagnosed with cancer, terminal cancer, and he'd become a Christian. So he was from Hong Kong, and he'd become a Christian. And so he got this diagnosis of terminal cancer. And he chose, despite this diagnosis, to keep going to church. And his family tried to pressure him to stop going to church. But he chose to live his life well, to end his life well, and to keep going to church and to keep following God. And it was a wonderful testimony to hear. And at the end of the English class, we were all packing up, ready to go home. And it was really hot, and I had lots to do, and I could very easily have just been concentrating on what's my next thing I've got to do. But a lady came to me, and she said to me, she was really quite upset, because her husband had been at the class, but he had not heard the testimony. And she was really upset that he'd missed out. And I could have carried on in the flesh and gone, never mind, next time. But I just felt the Holy Spirit said to me, how would you like your family members to be treated? And I knew the answer was that just for somebody to give them the time. So I went into the other room where this man was standing on his own. And I went and I said to him, oh, you missed out on hearing the testimony, didn't you? I'd like to explain it again to you. So I started to explain, and Wilson was there, and I pulled Wilson into the conversation. So Wilson then explained again the testimony to this man. And this man, he was just standing there with a very straight face, and I wasn't sure if it was landing. But then when Wilson stopped speaking, his eyes started to well up. And he said 40 years ago, he had experienced Jesus. He'd been on a ski lift, and he was getting onto the chairs, and as he got on, he suddenly started to panic, and he couldn't remember what to do, and he felt that he was going to fall out of this ski lift because the bar wasn't over him safely. And he heard a voice speak to him, and he knew that it was Jesus. And Jesus said, I've got you. And then the bar just came by a miracle over him, and he was safe. And I said to him, well, that was 40 years ago. What have you done with that since? And he said, nothing. Nothing. And there are tears. And so we prayed. We prayed with him, didn't we? But he was a lost sheep. He was a lost sheep. He'd experienced something of Jesus, but he'd gone his own way. And he knows that Jesus is calling him. He knows that Jesus is calling him back to himself. And today, I think there are some of you here that Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. He's real. He's here. He's alive today. Yes, he died on the cross 2,000 years ago for you and me. But he came back to life. He's with his Father in heaven, and he's calling you right now to come to him. So I'd just like us to pray together. So some of you are walking your own way right now. You may have said yes to Jesus. in one way, in that you have asked him into your heart, but you're walking in your own way. So right now, just start to turn your heart back to Jesus. Start to talk to him. It may be that you need to say sorry for walking your own way. But now is the day. It's a new day. It's a new day in him. And there may be some of you that don't yet know Jesus. But now, today, is the day of salvation. And I would ask that all of you just pray this prayer. And I'm going to say all of you pray it, because there are some here that may be praying it for the first time, and we don't want to embarrass them. So if you could all repeat this prayer after me. And if there are some of you that are praying this for the first time and you mean it, then do come and speak to myself or Pastor Mabel afterwards. So let's pray this prayer together. So just repeating it after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I recognize I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I repent. I believe you died on the cross for me. That you rose again. And are now with the Father in heaven. I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior, to wash me, cleanse me, and set me free, and give me eternal life with you. Amen. Amen. So if you said that for the first time, then please do come and see myself or Pastor Mabel or Thomas or Wilson after the service. We're going to go back into worship now, I believe. Okay.